Thank you for the introduction. Hi, my name is Tom Magrino. I'm a PhD student over at Cornell University, and today I'll be talking about our paper, Efficient, Consistent, Distributed Computation with Predictive Trees. This is joint work with Jed Liu, Nate Foster, Johannes Gerke, and my advisor, Andrew Myers. So in the 90s, with the advent of the internet, developers began to create globally accessible services, and these new services needed systems that were simple, fast, and highly available. And thus, there was a move towards sacrificing strong consistency guarantees offered by conventional database servers in order to meet these new requirements. However, developers have discovered that there are many applications out there that really can't tolerate operating with these weaker consistency models. And so, in response, there's been more recent work where researchers have been working to improve the performance of strong consistency at the scale of the cloud. So today, I'll be talking about work that helps improve performance for strongly consistent systems when we're operating at this scale. So as a running example, let's explore a simple application, an online poll service, where votes are tallied for one of two options, such as cake or pie. This is a global polling service, so there are going to be many servers concurrently tallying new votes, and these totals will be sharded across these sites, so each site will hold a local count of the individual votes at that site. And so the question is how do we support both low latency voting and low latency accurate queries for the front runner, the currently winning choice? And the reason I stress accurate is because I'd like to be confident that the answers returned is not stale, which can lead to embarrassment or worse. This is a photo of President Truman holding up an incorrect newspaper headline the day he won. This newspaper headline was the result of a printing delay of several hours between the time that the headline was written and when those newspapers actually hit newsstands. So low latency operation with accurate distributed results can be difficult to achieve. And the reason is because strongly consistent designs are traditionally very high overhead. And this overhead is going to affect one of the two operations, either voting or querying. This overhead is a result of synchronization that's performed to ensure that the result is consistent. This requires one or more high latency round trips to all sites, depending on what sort of setup or protocol you're using. And so front runner queries are slow in the voting application, and this creates a lot of contention with votes that are concurrently being submitted. So either one of the two operations has to block or be preempted during this process. So this means with traditional techniques, it appears that I can't have my cake and eat it too. However, I believe we should be able to expect better based on key intuitions from this example. So while traditionally strongly consistent designs require front runner queries to validate exact vote counts, the client didn't really ask for exact vote counts. They simply wanted to know what the front runner was. Unlike exact vote counts, the front runner result is pretty stable. It doesn't actually change that often, and it's unaffected by most votes. In fact, it's reasonable to assume that most voting patterns tend to be stable. You tend to have, like in US elections, we talk about red districts and blue districts. And so these patterns tend to mean that there's a stable and predictable trend that these votes go in. And as a result, not only is the front runner likely to be stable, if the voting patterns tend to be stable, then the front runner is likely to build up their lead, getting more stable with time. So given that the result is stable and likely to get more stable, we really should expect better. So today I'll be presenting predictive trees, an abstraction for low synchronization yet strongly consistent geodistributed applications. Trees are guarantees of arbitrary general predicates on the distributed state, such as there are at least five items in stock across all sites, or the front runner is cake. Predictive trees are designed to leverage the insights from the voting example to achieve low synchronization overheads. So trees can be read directly in place of performing a distributed computation, avoiding contention with concurrent updates. In other words, query transactions which used to read exact values now read trees instead and are less likely to conflict with concurrent updates. Because trees guarantee results which are more stable than lower level state, they can be replicated and kept consistent with very little synchronization overhead. In fact, predictive trees can guarantee predicates which vary with time, These time-varying predicates can express statements about trends in the data, which allows us to talk about what reinforces why a result is true. So how do we enforce the consistency of treaties while avoiding synchronization? You can think of a treaty as identifying a subset of a possible system states in which a predicate is true. As updates are applied, the current state moves around the space. So to enforce a treaty, each pending update is checked to determine if it invalidates the treaty, and if necessary, before applying the update, the treaty is retracted. So to avoid synchronizing for each update, we can set up local treaties that monitor state that is localized to each site, and check these instead before we check the original statement. So synchronization is avoided for updates that leave the state with some slack relative to the local treaties, which by implication guarantees that the original treaty still holds. So in the voting application, after the current front runner is computed, the system creates and replicates a distributed treaty and creates local treaties that will enforce the result at each site. Updates at each site are checked against local treaties before being applied. For example, if a voter at the left site votes for cake, this update is checked against the local treaty, and because it would leave the local state consistent with the margin bound of 5, the update is applied locally. When an update invalidates a local treaty, it calls into question the distributed treaty, which depends on it. For example, if a voter on the right site votes for pi, the update would violate the local margin bound of negative 5. And this means that the update potentially invalidates the distributed treaty statement that cake is winning. And so the system must synchronize to determine the effect before applying the update. If the result is still true, as is the case here, new local treaties are created to continue enforcing the result going forward, and the update is then applied. Alternatively, if the distributed result had violated the distributed treaty, say pi started winning, we could retract the statement during the synchronization. So now, synchronization only occurs when local treaties are violated. So therefore, avoiding synchronization overheads is a matter of using long-lasting local treaties with plenty of slack. Depending on the workload, however, some treaty slack may not be used as quickly as others. So to identify long-lasting treaties, the system uses a model to predict future update trends and that determine how the slack is used, and therefore how long local treaties could last. We can estimate the parameters of these models based on past update behavior, the idea being that past trends tend to predict future trends. The system can then use this prediction model to automatically choose local treaties that, based on observed update behavior, are expected to avoid synchronization for as long as possible. So in our implementation, we use a pretty simple prediction model for values that captures the insights from the voting example. Here, the green line represents the value's actual position over time. First, our model is going to capture a general trend of the value, which we call the velocity. Next, to sort of capture the fact that updates are actually discrete and noisy, and this causes variation and uncertainty that grows over time, we have a noise bound that creates this growing envelope of where the value could actually land. And this resulting random process I've described is what's called a Brownian motion with drift, which is a pretty standard statistical model. So armed with this predictive model, the system can now automatically identify which local treaties will last as long as possible. So we can do even better, however. I said that predictive treaties support time-varying statements which capture the trends that make it result stable. To see why this helps, let's return to the voting example. Here we have a workload with stable distributions for votes at each site. Overall, cake is the preferred choice. This is the result of distinct local biases, however. While the blue site's users really like cake, the gold site's users have a slight bias towards pie. Zooming in, we can see that the gold site's local bias means that the local treaty will be violated. This is unfortunate and contradicts our intuition. The overall predicate stating that cake is a global preference should be getting stronger. However, we're seeing here that we're going to need to synchronize for a statement that we think is getting more true. So we can do better, however, by allowing local treaties to express predicates that vary with time. The system is able to reflect our intuition now that Cake's lead builds up over time. Assuming that preferences don't shift, we should expect these local treaties to never be violated. So to see whether or not this actually works, we implemented this exact scenario where we ran two sites that received about 100 votes per second and compared two static approaches to our time-varying predictive treaties. We created a treaty after 30 seconds of initial voting to get a front runner and let a little bit of data come in for estimation. And then afterwards, we measured the amount of time until the system needed to synchronize again to continue enforcing the result. As a simple baseline, we use a strategy called static equal. This creates local treaties which have bounds that are equally distant from the current values at each site. And this is a pretty common baseline for similar prior work. This ended up having a median time of about 56 seconds, a little under a minute. Next, we had a baseline which we call the static optimal strategy. What we did here is that we took our stochastic model, which is actually pretty much exactly what this situation is, and solved for what was the best relative slack to assign to each site, given how much distance Cake had over pi. This improved over the static equal strategy, doubling the median time. However, finally, we measured what predictive treaties would do with their time-varying local treaties. As we hoped, this performed significantly better. In fact, in all 100 trials, we did not see a single synchronization in 7 minutes, which was about twice as long as we saw any of the other strategies last. And to make sure that this wasn't just us stopping too early and wasn't measurement error, we looked at the state and the trend towards the end of the run, and the logs showed that the values were moving away from the time-varying treaties. So the gap was widening, and it was getting more and more stable with time. So as we hoped, we never needed to synchronize. So of course, there is no free cake. Now that our treaties predicates can vary with time, care must be taken to ensure that they still can be used in a strongly consistent manner. In particular, now that the treaty's predicate can depend on time, a system state that initially satisfied the treaty may violate the treaty's guarantee given enough time. Thus, predictive treaties can only be guaranteed up until a certain point in time and carry an associated expiration time, after which the predicate is not guaranteed to hold. For treaties that are enforced by monitoring other treaties, their expiration time is now the minimum of the expiration time of the local treaties that enforce them. However, we were using time-varying treaties because we expected updates to occur with rough trends and be able to take advantage of this. When updates move the state in a way that extends how long the predicate will be satisfied, the system can extend the expiration time in the background without blocking or synchronizing client operations and propagate it up the tree of treaties. On the other hand, however, updates may move in a way that requires the expiration time to be retracted. In this case, the update does need to synchronize and propagate the change to ensure that we are not lying about what is true about the system state. To help avoid these synchronizations from retractions, we can use the predicted noise to determine the likely variation in updates that would move towards the treaty's bound. Thus, we can hedge the expiration time to account for noise, setting the expiration time shorter than necessary and allowing a little bit of leeway for these updates that are going to buck the trend. While this means that expiration times are initially shorter, the system still performs extensions in the background, and so as long as extensions keep happening, we really never need to synchronize. So to test this out, we implemented this on top of Fabric, which is a system and language that my group works on for writing secure distributed applications with transactions. And to evaluate our design, we wanted to answer the following questions. How much does overall update bias affect the synchronization savings that we're seeing? What happens to performance when our prediction model ends up being wrong? What are the synchronization savings for a real workload, and how does this compare against prior work? So first, we took a look at how synchronization savings change with the overall bias in the workload. So to answer this, we took a look at a less biased scenario, dropping the overall bias from 54% pro A, or pro cake, down to 52%. With the reduced overall bias, there are some trials that do require synchronization. This is because the weaker bias meant that there was generally a smaller margin between the two choices and a greater variance in the workload. However, the system is still able to avoid synchronization in the majority of trials when using predictive treaties. Next, we wanted to evaluate how well our design works when our predictive model was, well, not predictive. And to do this, we set up the voting scenario to initially run with the first workload with an overall bias of 54% going to the A option, cake. At the 10-second mark, we set up the treaty for the front runner, which would likely be cake at that point. And then after 2 minutes, we flipped the bias. So everyone started preferring pie over cake or cake over pie. And so now our predictions would be wrong and our treaties would be set up for the wrong scenario. After about 4.5 minutes, the B option, pie, would overtake cake. And then the system would be running with the new front runner. So we ran the scenario and we measured the 99th percentile latencies for both voting and front runner queries using data across 10 trials of this scenario. What we see is that during this, the initial treaty creation, there's a small jump in the tail latencies, and this is because there's synchronization when we first compute the result, and some contention with ongoing voting as we do this. After the treaty is created, however, the 99th percentile latencies drop back down, and this is because no one needed to synchronize, so everything happens really locally. Where is my notes? When the bias switches, however, tail latency spiked due to synchronizations caused by updates that were no longer behaving as predicted. However, by the 5-minute mark, shortly after B overtakes A, we see the system is back to a steady state, indicating that the system was able to identify the new trend and start operating under the new system. Finally, to get a sense of how our design works with a realistic workload, we implemented a small application which tracked the page hits for a distributed web server and monitored the top 20 most popular pages. So we took the 1998 World Cup website logs, which had 33 servers spread across 4 different geographic regions, and we implemented a baseline of a specialized protocol for doing this presented by Babcock and Olson out of Sigma 2003. After processing the page hits for an hour in this scenario, we found that the predictive treaty synchronized 10% less often than the specialized protocol. And in fact, when we wrote this code, the specialized protocol was twice as many lines of code and was much more difficult to debug in our experience. So, of course, I only have a limited amount of time, and there's so much more discussed in the paper. Our paper describes a simple general API which allows programmers to use these treaties without having to think about how to use time and how to optimize these appropriately. It takes care of it for them. We discuss a little bit about how our generalized compositional design is beneficial for performance, particularly for situations like when we need to synchronize, making sure that the synchronization happens locally, reducing the latencies for round trips. Furthermore, we discuss features and methods for integrating this into transactions, allowing us to still provide strict serializability with good performance. So, in conclusion, I present a predictive treaties, an abstraction for low synchronization yet strongly consistent geo-distributed applications. Treaties are a general predicate guarantees on the distributed state. They allow you to say statements like the stock is at least 5 or cake is the preferred answer. Treaties can be consistently replicated across sites and used to effectively perform a distributed computation without doing distributed computation. And it can be maintained with low synchronization overheads as demonstrated by our results. And what I find most exciting is that this time-varying feature allows us to take systems that have to synchronize every so often into systems that need to synchronize basically never. And with that, I am done and I would be happy to take questions.
Alexander Wurstlein, FAU Erlangen. Hi. So I think the interesting part of an election in your example would be when it's 50-50, so there's a lot of disagreeing districts,
sure.
So you have a lot of synchronization overheads. And my question would be, wouldn't your protocol in this interesting case incur more overhead than maybe global synchronization of all states? Or is it just that an election is maybe a bad example because, well, summing up a few numbers would be easier globally than what you actually have in mind for your use case?
I should clarify that the voting example is largely a simplified version of the features that we found were very interesting for applications that this works well for. You're absolutely right that the most interesting elections are perhaps the case where we do the least amount of good. We are still doing effectively the same amount of synchronization or better than a system that would have performed two-phase commit on every transaction. Of course, that overhead is the reason why people don't implement online distributed polls using strongly consistent results. Our hope is that techniques like predictive treaties can allow systems to start considering stronger consistency guarantees for these applications that traditionally couldn't even imagine this.
François Tajani from University of Rennes. So thank you for the presentation and the inspiring ideas. The examples you've presented seemed most of them to involve some aggregation and some counting examples, and you know we can see how you know having these different treaties allows your approach to basically accumulate these bounds that you have. And I was wondering, although this is clearly you know an important use case. Do you have other examples that do not involve some, you know, aggregation of some quantities or volume in which treaties could be useful?
Sure. So the question is essentially, do we have things that aren't counts? And there is some discussion in the paper. Actually, it might have not made it into the final paper. We've been exploring applications where while counts tend to be very useful for most of these applications, there are other interesting aggregation operators that you can take a look at. So one in particular that I find particularly easy to sort of see where it extrapolates is thinking of a min operator across values. In the case of min, for example, you need to identify which is the most likely value that's going to hit and take over as a new min and monitor that value explicitly. You can imagine similarly for max. One of the other things is that we're currently working on, and I'm hoping to do a small write-up on how we can extend this to other types of operators. So for example, multiplication, or taking values that are, non-numeric, but have a clear numeric mapping and sort of generalizing that way. But that's still ongoing work.
Interesting work. a question about the voting example again. And so a practical concern in most voting is preventing double voting.
Sure.
That leads to what looks like a binary precondition, right? Figuring out has this particular voter voted before.
Right.
Is there anything that predictive treaties can do to alleviate that?
Unfortunately, I've spent some time because I really wish that I could tell you yes, I have an answer for this, and that went a lot into thinking about this work. I believe binary predicates like that, where the value really is just on or off, and really you're only expecting it to move once, which is the voter voted, there isn't really a trend or history that you can predict from, and so you don't know what to predict when the result will stop being true. However, if you had a method of, say, knowing when people tend to vote and be able to do things like, I know that most of my voters aren't going to vote until afternoon, you can imagine doing sort of population-style statistics and being able to do fuzzier answers to questions like this. However, we're still exploring this.
So we are perfectly on time. So let's thank again Tom and all the speakers of the session.